Okay, well, as we get into our word, last time we looked at the role which God has set for wives. So today we're going to look at the role he set for husbands. And as we do that, first of all, we need to remember that the precursor to all of these things is that for any of this to work as God intended, we need to continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we saw last time, a spirit-filled Christian is a condition, not a title. And as we look at this today, if you've been a husband in the past, you can kind of see how you matched up as we go through it. If you're a husband today, you can see how you're doing. And if you're one of our youngsters here this morning, Zach and Josh, you know, you can... You're probably destined to be a husband in the future, so this is for you too. So listen up. You know, and it also just happens to be Father's Day today. I didn't plan all this. This is just the way it is. So maybe God really wants to speak to you today. And with all that in mind, let's get into what we're going to look at this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 on, say this. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, as we can see, the Lord has much more to say to husbands than he does to wives. And I know that can be interpreted in a number of different ways, but I just kind of throw that out there. And this is a really interesting passage of scripture, isn't it? But husbands, it really is important for us to step up to the plate. And we should take note of all of this. And you know, there are probably some great marriages here, healthy marriages. And there may be some whose marriages in the past have failed for whatever reason. And there may be some here we're not going to be able to talk about this Bible study on the way home for a number of reasons. But understand this. What we do with this generation of the church, you and I, is going to determine the nature of our nation and our culture. And husbands and wives, this position that we're in is unlike any position that the church has ever been in before. And that's because of social media, because of cell phones, mobile phones, and because of television. Everything we do is reflected everywhere. Every unhealthy marriage, every bit of adultery, every bit of sexual sin is broadcast everywhere, and it's glorified and it infects a nation, a generation. And everywhere that there is a healthy home, where things are the way the Lord wants those things to be, it breeds a security in the lives of the children. And then that is broadcast everywhere as well. So dads, fathers, husbands, we need to step up to the plate. And God, you know, he gives us two simple rules here. Wives, look up to your husbands. Husbands, die for your wives. It's not complicated, men. It's just impossible. It's not complicated. I mean, what did Jesus do? He entered into our world and he died there. And that's what our wives want us to do. Enter into her world and die there. And you know, sometimes we might come home from work and we're tired, we're worn out, and we're feeling kind of right out of this world. And we don't want to enter into anybody else's world. And she wants to tell me, though, she wants to tell me all kinds of things that have been going on in her life that day. And, you know, I know, Lord, you want me to enter into a world and die there. And here she is, she's telling me about her world. And sometimes I'm like, I can't believe you live in that world of yours. You know, I live in a totally different world to the world you live in. But that's what the Lord wants. That's what he wants. That's what he did. He entered into our world and he died there. And we think that us entering into her world is something? Really? You know, the world said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, and be in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took upon himself the form of a servant, and made himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, and humbled himself unto death. Not just death in a hospital, was it? Not in a hospice, but even death on the cross. Every step we have to take to enter into our wives' world is incomparable to the steps he had to take to enter into our world. And we don't have to die physically, do we? Look, you know, she doesn't have, you know, she might not have a washing machine and a tumble dryer at work, but you've got a pretty smart car. Why? Well, because you're one selfish so-and-so, that's why. And again, doing what it says here about dying for her, that is supernatural, guys. So if you're not doing it, you need to be spirit-filled. If you're not doing it, thereby hangs a problem. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to do something about that. And you might be looking at me and thinking, come on, man, this is so puritanical. You know, what is this, Victorian or something? Well, you know, when Paul wrote this to the Ephesians in Ephesus there, it was revolutionary. It was radical. Because in Ephesus, if you had a wife, she was your possession. The Greek culture actually said wives should see as little as possible, hear as little as possible, and ask as little as possible. And the Jews were much better. They prayed every morning, thank God I'm not a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. So ladies, you've come a long way since then, huh? But husbands, if you think this is radical now, when the Ephesians heard it, I mean, when they heard this, they probably thought, oh yeah, you know, wives should submit to the husbands. But when they heard husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, it was totally revolutionary. It was something that the pagan world had no idea about. So when we read this today, it's nowhere near as outlandish as it was then when it was written. And take notice of the first two words, husbands love. Husbands love. Wives, you need to take notice of the first word, because it's not girlfriends. It's not girlfriends, it's husbands, because he is a vastly different creature. Husbands, love your wives. You know, wives are never told to love their husbands, because you don't have to be told to do that, do you? You do that naturally. What he has to tell wives to do is to respect your husbands, submit to him. The only place in the New Testament where it tells wives to love their husbands is in Titus, where it says the aged women should teach the younger women to love their husbands. And it's the Greek word philio there, which is important. It's be his friend, be his companion. And he's talking about the aged women there, no doubt widows who'd lost their husbands. And it's urging them to speak to the younger women about how to appreciate what they've got, because they may not always have them. And that's the only time in the New Testament that God says to the aged women that they'll teach the younger women to be friends with their husbands. But it does tell the husbands to agape or agape their wives. That's our word here. Agape their wives. It's divine love. And you know, that's something that the world just cannot do. It simply cannot do it. It's something that Hollywood has no idea about. But for us as Christian men, for us, it's a commandment. It's a commandment. And it's something where you don't want a definition, you want a demonstration. So husbands, agape your wives. And if you're going to do that, you've got to go back to verse 18 where it says, be you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, you can't drum up this kind of love on your own. You have to be a Spirit-filled husband to do this. And it's done in the fear of God. That's what it tells us. Wives, you're to be submissive to your husbands. Respect him. He's your head, even as Christ is head of the church. And he's going to tell us, okay, men, this is what all that means. If you're the head in your home, guys, if you're the head in your home, the way Christ is head of the church, your wife is not going to have any trouble at all yielding to you. Husbands, love your wives. So, look, we're talking here in the context of husbands and wives, Christian husbands and wives. We're not talking about in the context of Muslim homes. We're not talking about in the context of Hindu homes. We're not talking about in the context of the Mormons. We're not talking about in the context of anywhere it's proper to beat your wife. We're not talking about in the context of where you can have more than one wife. We're not talking in the context of our culture, where the statistics tell us that divorce is off the charts. We're talking about God's word. This is God's word we're talking about. And we're specifically talking to husbands and wives. We're not saying that women have to be a doormat. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says wives, husbands, this is what marriage looks like. This is what marriage looks like. And the husband's side of this is husbands, love your wives. And it's as Christ loved the church. And the first thing that looks like, guys, is self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Because he gave himself for the church. You know, we're not just talking about getting her a new bread maker. We're not talking about getting her a new blender. You can't just give her stuff to make her happy. Because she wants, what she wants more than anything, guys, is you. She wants you. I mean, she might take the new blender today, you know, but tomorrow she'll want you again. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. You don't have to die physically, but you have to lay down your lives for her. You know, I heard one guy say that what every home needs is one wedding and two funerals. The husband is to be head of the wife, and he's to love her the way Christ loved the church. You're not a tyrant. You don't rule over her like some dictator. It doesn't say that. And there are some husbands that are like that, but they're not the Spirit-filled ones. You know, I heard a story of one little kiddie, and he saw a picture of his mum when she was young, when they got married. And he said, she's beautiful. And he said, Dad, is that mum before she came to work for us? I mean, what a sad picture of marriage that is. Sad perspective. It says here that he gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Husbands, look, it doesn't say anywhere that your wives are perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. We need to get that in our heads. There isn't such a thing as a perfect marriage. But I have to admit, in the last 56 years, Maureen's come a long way. But she's not here this morning, so I could get away with that, maybe. Maybe not, when I get home. But look, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, right? Your wife is going to make mistakes, just like you are. And she's going to do things she shouldn't do. She's going to break down, and she's going to get mad, and she's going to cry. And when that kind of thing happens, the Lord doesn't say to us, right, change your last name, pack your suitcase and get out of the church. But where it says sanctify here, it means to set aside. It has the idea of an honoured position or an elevated status. And your wife needs to know that the kind of love you have is self-sacrificial. The self-sacrificial love that you have gives her a place. She needs to know this, that the self-sacrificial love that you have gives her a place that no other woman has. So you are not to be buddies with other women. That's just plain stupid, and dare I say, sinful. You've committed yourself, husbands, to one woman, and there is no room for you to have other women as Facebook buddies and go back and forth and send them pictures. That's not of the Lord. And it is destructive. She needs to know that your love towards her is sanctifying in the sense that you've put her in an elevated position, a position that no one else on earth has. You left your father and your mother, and you are cleaving to her and her only. And look, the kids. The kids. They just got here and they ain't staying long. You were married before they got here and you'll be married after they go. You put your whole life in them, all of your money, all of your savings to take care of your kids. And rest assured, one day they'll say, bye, thanks, and they'll be gone. Now, I mean, you really love them, and so you should. But the relationship between a husband and a wife, and a wife and a husband, is something very special. And it takes precedence over all other relationships. And she needs to know that. She needs to know it. And it becomes sanctifying. And it sets her apart. And when she makes mistakes and she does things wrong, you don't rub that in her face. What it says you do is, there needs to be the washing of water by the word. And it's interesting because Paul uses rhema here for the word, not logos, logos. The logos is the written word in its entirety, right? But the rhema speaks about a verse, something that's spoken or something that is applied. And what that means, husbands, is that you need to know the word of God. You need to know it. So that when your wife gets in trouble or she makes a mistake, you can say, honey, let's turn to Psalm 19 and see what it says there. Or let's look at Proverbs and see what this says about this situation. This is what it says about when your feelings are hurt. Honey, this is how the Lord's going to give you strength. So you need to have the verse, guys. You need to have the verse that applies to the things that are going on in her life. And fathers, dads, it's incumbent upon you to know the word of God. Every great man of God is a great man of the word of God. Every man that's filled with the Holy Spirit is a great man of the word of God because the Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. And for us guys to be self-sacrificing like Christ means that part of that agape love is sanctifying. and elevating her and putting her in a position that no one else has. And in her struggles and in her journey, being able to come around and say, honey, let's look at this verse together. Or honey, this is what the word says. Let's do this together. Or honey, look, we're going to have to forgive them. This is what the scripture says. Let's pray for them. So husbands, it's your job to be priest and prophet in the home and to love your wives that way. Is she going to grow because of you or in spite of you? Are you going to lead her to Christ or drive her to Christ? And this love, you know, it's a love of great sensitivity. Because it says here in verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It says that we should love our wives in a sensitive, remarkable way, just like your own flesh. And I want you to take note of this, guys, because it doesn't say love your wife like your own body, does it? Men, it doesn't say that. It says love your wives because she is your own flesh. In Genesis chapter 2, you all know about this, but in Genesis chapter 2, God causes a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he takes something from Adam's side. We have it translated rib. I believe that the language there in the original could actually mean his whole side. But Eve was made from Adam. God forms the woman from Adam. So in marriage, where there's a reunion, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you're made one again. That's what marriage is about. You know, people talk about their other half. Well, that happens to be true in a sense. And it says, you love your wife because she is your own body. You can't separate them. When God makes you one, you are one. In fact, the only reason the Bible gives for divorce is when that one fleshness is broken. When that covenant is broken. And adultery enters in. Because you become one flesh physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So it says you treat your wives as your own flesh because they are. That's agape love, agape love. We are the body of Christ, right? God lived in Christ. Christ was the embodiment of Almighty God. The church is the embodiment of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The wife is the embodiment, as it were, of the husband. She's part of him. She's not separate. She is your body. And Paul's going to say, look, this is a great mystery. And you know, you have to keep going back to verse 18, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So important. Look, you have to find out what makes her tick. You have to find out what tickles her. And you have to find out what ticks her off. You need to have all your ticks in a row. And he says, look at this verse 27, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot. You know, that's from being defiled. Or wrinkled, it says, from age, from being worn down, or any such thing, it says. But it should be holy and without blemish. So it says the reason Christ does what he does with the church is because he keeps a focus. There's an eternal purpose. Listen, husbands, listen up. The church is never a hassle to Jesus. The church is never an afterthought to Jesus. Is there any wife here who thinks she's a hassle? Don't raise your hands. Come and talk to me afterwards. Is there any wife here who thinks she's an afterthought? Again, come and see me later. Look, it tells us in chapter 1 of Ephesians that he formed us before the foundation of the world. He thought about us before anything else. Our wives are not to be an afterthought. They are not to be made to feel like they're hassling us either. And husbands, there is an end game to all of this. Because we will be presenting her to ourselves, right? Think about this. What you work on now is what you're going to get later on. You know, I'm told, and it's probably not the same now, but at one time in certain Eastern European countries, if you ordered a brand new car, it would take 15 years before it would be delivered. So most people got kept one car for their whole life. But if you were only going to have one car, how many times would you change the oil? If you had one car for the rest of your life, you would slow down for speed bumps. If you had one car for the rest of your life, you would make sure it was in tip-top condition. And I reckon you know where I'm going with this, right? But see, here's the deal. You've got one wife for the rest of your life. Slow down for speed bumps, please. When you run into trouble and you're going over something, take your time. Don't just smash over it. Slow down. Get in the Word together. Change the oil. Pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Because 10 years from now, if she's smiling and she has that radiance about her, you're presenting her to yourself. But if she's ragged, worn out, and discouraged, and thinking about murder, you're presenting her to yourself. But our relationship with him is eternal. And he is working on us. We don't have to be worried about being thrown out. And I think your wife needs to know that. You're with her for the long haul. And you know, Maureen and I, we're crazy about our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. And we want to portray Christ and the church to them. And our kids have seen us go through hard things and easy things, having disagreements, making up, staying together, staying the course, asking forgiveness, moving forward. Good times, bad times. And hopefully, by our behaviour, we're investing something into their lives. And husbands, agape love is not delivered by definition, it's delivered by demonstration. And it's not natural because if you're anything like me, I'm a selfish sinner saved by grace. But I have never been more drawn to Christ as I am now through all of these years. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says that any man that doesn't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. And you need to get the meaning behind this because the way it's worded is about seeing the horizon ahead of time. The husband in the home is supposed to be the spiritual head. You're supposed to be the high priest of the home, the prophet in the home. You're supposed to see ahead spiritually. That's what you're supposed to be doing. If all you're doing is providing backup, you're not providing anything, really. You're supposed to set the spiritual course of that home. Husbands, that's what you are supposed to be doing. And you can't do that unless you're loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it to sanctify it, to wash it, to care for it as his very own body, knowing that one day he would present it to himself. Listen, what's in these tabernacles that we live in will one day be raised to glory, right? And stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is, guys, that he allows us to make this journey together as husbands and wives. Such a privilege. And the way you conduct yourselves as husbands and wives is going to determine what the next generation embraces. And husbands, the way you lay down your lives for your wives will be communicated to your children and to your grandchildren. So, you know, we need to be reminded that more is caught than taught, right? I'll say it again. More is caught than taught. And, you know, we try to teach them to eat with table manners, but they all eat like you. And on that note, let's bow our hearts to pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word to us today. Father, we pray that we would just take these things on board as husbands and as wives, as we've looked at these things over the last 2 weeks, and we'll look at them again on Wednesday this week and Wednesday evening. Father, we just pray that you would just lay it on our hearts. Father, we might be thinking, well, that's not for me. Well, Father, we pray that you would then give us that desire to be filled, to continually be being filled as husbands with your Holy Spirit. Father, we can't do these things without that. Father, help us to take time to ask the Holy Spirit into our lives every day as husbands. Father, let's be proper husbands. Lay it on our hearts, fathers, to do the things that you have laid down for us in your word, because you love us so much and you want what's best for us at all times. So, Father, we pray that these things will lodge in our hearts and will change our lives and help us to be the husbands we should be, according to your word. And, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.